When looking for the King of Podcasts, you're at the wrong channel.
Well, excuse me!
Looking for good ideas for life? You're far from good hands.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
If you think the listener is always right, you're far from the right place.
Out of order! Even in the future, nothing works!
Hosted by a Northeasterner by birth, but a rebel by choice.
Are you threatening me?
If you want a host that floats between love and madness,
and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite, looking forward to a little afternoon delight.
Then play on and listen to Crazy Train Radio.
All right, guys, listen to this blues riff and B. Watch me for the changes and try and keep up, okay?
Warning, creators of this game do understand the subject matter may be offensive to some, but they do honor the families and people that have been affected by these real life tragedies that these individuals have caused. Want to play a game?
Oh yeah!
Lover of true crime?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, we got an interesting game for you to check out.
Wow.
With the mashup of influences such as horror movies, collecting cards, and RPGs.
What?
Led to giving birth to an incredible creation of this game, Killers the Card Game.
You are all my children now.
This game is a collectible trading card game featuring some of the most infamous killers with tidbits of trivia on the back of each card to help you learn some insight to each criminal.
Who the hell are you?
Let's not forget, during the game, cops will be chasing you and these criminals.
I'm a cop, you idiot!
However, check out their website listed through all social media today, which can be found under Killers the Card Game.
Am I on the internet?
I want to play a game.
Hey, this is Fiona Dura from the Chucky series, and you're listening to Crazy Train Radio.
Hey folks, it's your least favorite host in the podcast world, Croc, Jonathan Steele. And boy, do we have a good one for you today. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, actually excited about this, and it worked out well because we were initially going to do this after Monster Mania in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. However, our guest had a little bit of a sore throat and stuff, which rightfully so, because you'll see with her personality and stuff. But I got to witness it firsthand when I went to say hello because of how she interacts with her fans. But it worked out well because when we take this here on April 10th, it is release day for the second half of the Chucky series on Sci-Fi and USA. Our next guest is Fiona Dorff. And she was about to correct me on something, so please do.
I was going to say also on Peacock. So it's USA Sci-Fi and then also Peacock. But Peacock also, it comes out weekly, so you can't jump ahead.
Right on. So yeah, I could just tell, even though folks won't see the video version of this, but I just knew by the gesture, it's like, oh, I effed up. I fucked up.
Don't fuck up. Don't fuck up. Yeah.
You fucked up. You fucked up. You fucked up.
Especially, you don't fuck up with a woman because A, they will set you straight, and two, because of a project she's involved with. So, no, it's
right,
all good.
Right. I've killed many, many people in the, over the course of my career, I must tell you.
But all kidding aside, since I mentioned it, how are you feeling? How are you doing? Happy second half of the season release.
It's like
everything
day, but yeah, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I had a great time in Monster Mania. I met a few hundred people, I'd say. Got a little sick, but it was worth it. Chucky fans are the best, man. They're so kind of wacky and fun, you know.
Horror fans are all like that to an extent, and I say that respectfully. And like I said, I could see why you had the sore throat and everything afterwards, because you and I mentioned her name right before we hit go, and because I had a chance to talk with after 2 years of poking and prodding her because of how busy her schedule is. Felissa Rose yesterday.
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
And
yeah.
She is the same way with interacting with people at conventions.
She likes people. But, yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is with both of you, with the vibe I got, and I told her this, and I told you this briefly actually out at Scarefest in Kentucky last year. We met. We met briefly on Sunday morning because you were two tables down from the celebrity I was helping.
Ah, okay, okay.
It was, you know, we said hello and all that stuff, and you could just see I got a good bullshit detector with being from the Northeast area, and you can really feel how people are. And what I saw with you is so genuine, how are, and you know, I really appreciated seeing that.
Yeah, I also have fun. I mean, it's cool to learn how everybody relates to this thing that I'm kind of close to, you know. So I get to talk to everybody and kind of find out how they got into One Horror and then Chucky, what their relationship with Chucky is. And you know what the most common thing is? It's related to people's families. So I'll be like, how'd you get into Chucky? And it's like, oh, I watched it with my dad, and me and my uncle used to sit down, or like my older brother scared the shit out of me when I was 10. It's just like linked to people's identity with their family in this funny way. And that's kind of a beautiful thing. You know, it's linked to my family too, obviously. And also the people who really identify with something like a maniac doll, they're just cooler than other people, right? There's no pretension there. It's just a fun crowd. I really like meeting the people. It's great attitudes, and I have fun. I mean, this franchise is a fucking blast to be a part of. Excuse my language.
You can say fucking, it's fine.
What's the big deal? It doesn't hurt anybody. Fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck.
No, it's a blast to be a part of. It feels like I won some kind of weird lottery, and I'm riding it till I can't anymore, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm trying to remember, whose book was it? Oh, it was Robert Englund's book, and he was talking about, because he had a personal connection with Mark Hamill from Star Wars.
Sure.
And Mark would crash at his place a lot, being Roberts. And he goes, man, he was before he signed up for Star Wars and all, but he repeated the story of riding that horse until that horse died. And it was Robert mentioned the story of Mel Brooks telling him, hey, ride that horse as long as you can, because we are all fortunate to be able to be lucky to ride a certain horse and have that kind of success.
Yeah, no, that's right. And also just enjoy the hand you got dealt, you know. and make the best of it, do my best. I mean, it's also just really fun. There's often projects that I've been involved in where there's a lot of tension and people kind of angry and infighting and et cetera, et cetera. And Chucky is just lovely. I mean, it's fun. I really, first off, I love Don Mancini as a person. He's like an actual real friend of mine. And that doesn't always happen, you know? So it feels very kind of familial and warm and cool and fun, you know, and everybody just like cracks up all the time. You know, the Chucky's a puppet, right? He's like a practical puppet. So his facial expressions move, you know, in real time as they're playing the voice in the scene. And he's really funny to watch. I mean, he's really funny because he's either angry or constipated, right? It's like one of the two. And so, you know, we sit there and watch this fucking iconic killer doll just like really need to go to the bathroom. And it's just like, it's just really fun. I hope we get to do it for a lot more years. Also, this season, I'm really proud of. It's so batshit crazy. It goes off by our eighth episode, which is 1 month from now. I believe May 1st, if I'm not mistaken. It's like balls to the wall, fucking chaos. And maybe my favorite episode to date. So
I think people will because of they've been liking it so far, obviously.
Yeah, it got reviewed really well, actually.
But speaking of the family aspect here, working with your father, even though your dad's doing the voiceover work, how is that for you? And that's got to be on a certain way grateful, because no matter what happens in life, you will always have, besides the personal connection, you will have that, the history of the professional connection from the movies, TV, for the rest of your lives.
Yeah. Me and my dad, well, first off, he's in it physically this season for the first time. And me and him for the first time are in the same scene. So we got to act actually together for the first time ever. And that will premiere within the next 4 weeks. And I watched it back and it's wild, man. It's really wonderful. I mean, my dad is this strange kind of wonderful person. He's the least Hollywood man you can imagine. He's like a gamer. He plays video games and like reads books about physics, kind of, and like why astronomy. He's really into astronomy, but you know, he's a hermit. And because of this franchise, me and him get real one-on-one time. We travel together for conventions sometimes. And we like hung out in Toronto where they film. We each had our own apartment, but it was, we shared a vestibule. And so we would listen to like this podcast on the history of the labor wars in Virginia. and I would make him food. We would cook dinner and we would listen to a podcast like radio in the 30s or something, and we just kind of hung out, you know, for like a month. I guess it was just under a month. And you don't get to spend time like that with a parent as an adult, you know. We were really grateful, and it was really fun. And yeah, I mean, whatever. It was great. I hope people like it too. We also really like the finished product, which, you know.
Which is good because, you know, and it's funny. And I never interacted with your father in any way as a fan or in this format or anything. But that would explain, I think, you being born in Woodstock, New York, and being in that type of environment.
Yeah. I was born to hippies.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to ask, because obviously your mom's no longer with us from what I see. And obviously you just had a nice description of your father. How would you describe your mother? Would she similar to your dad that way?
Interesting. My mother was actually the bigger character of the two. My mother was a professional psychic. And wonderful and generous and kind of brilliant in her way. But of the two people, I would say that my mother occupied kind of a bigger space, even though my father has this modicum of fame. So people tend to think it's my dad, but actually my mom, may she rest in peace, was a wonderful woman, but she
had the bigger presence of the two of them.
Yeah. And just the how she lived her life was kind of stranger. And, she took larger swings with what she wanted to do with her life.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So with that being said, Fiona, the person, now I'm not talking the actor, the professional stuff and all, who would you say you lean more towards? Would you be more closer to your father as far as description or your mother?
Oh my goodness.
I know, deep, right?
Yeah, God, can you answer that question for yourself too?
I would say I'm definitely a mix. I carefree in a lot of ways, like my father, but he's very stringent. But my mother is more stringent as far as she tries to be the responsible one financially, this way, that, you know, in most aspects of life. But I would say I'm pretty down the middle, but I'm flexible.
Yeah. I would say if we were to line up all the characteristics of both people, I probably personality wise share more with my mother. You know, may she rest in peace.
Yes.
Actually, my only tattoo I got on the anniversary of her death, and she ran a company called SciTech.
Okay.
And they taught something called remote viewing, and this was their logo, and it was kind of a bad logo. It's like, it's the flag of New Mexico with the eye of the Illuminati in the middle of it.
Yeah. I noticed that as a history guy myself. So
what's that?
As a history guy myself, I saw it. That's the first thing I took to when you showed that, the Illuminati symbol.
The Illuminati symbol, yeah. Of all of the images to get tattooed on my body, that is not one of them that I would have chosen myself. But I wanted to get it for kind of her and the culture that I was raised in. And
about it. That makes sense with the personal aspect to it. So
Yeah. And yeah, never forget.
I read a quote, and forgive me, because I know everything on the internet is true.
Everything.
But you were quoted in saying, I actually think that's true, that we kind of create our own hell. What did you mean by that?
Well, I definitely think that's true. I think that any kind of pure suffering that we feel is usually linked to a pattern of thought that you can kind of habitually sink into, which is connected also to usually thought. When you pay attention to it, kind of turns into physical sensations. So we are all kind of at the mercy of our own brains. And I've certainly had periods in my life where I've fallen into a lot of suffering. And I think that when it sticks around for a long time, it tends to be related to an habitual thought pattern. It's kind of dragging me down.
Absolutely. Now, I also was reading that, and obviously I could tell with your personality and such, how much fun you have with the job and everything else like that. And there's also good and bad to people here. But there's a certain, I think it was Doug Bradley who told me this, and I don't know if the number is still accurate, that only maybe 1% of working actors make a livable wage. So it can be stressful, obviously. You want to love what you do and all, but we also had to pay the bills. So, and I know there was times you were worried about making sound financial decisions because nothing's guaranteed in the field. And you bartending and doing other jobs to keep things going. When do you think you were able to take a sigh of relief with your career, but also what do you define as success?
Yeah, these are really good questions. Yeah, the hardest thing about being an actor is the lack of security. I actually worked in this either as a waitress or a bartender from 16 to 33 without gaps. Though, actually, I had a couple years where I worked as a producer for History Channel documentaries. But yeah, I mean, I had
no wonder I love you.
I had to have a second job throughout most of my career. It's been about 9 years, actually 10 years since it's been only acting. I don't have a relationship to ever feeling like I have become successful or made it. It feels like this ride you kind of get to go on and enjoy and try to make good work and take it seriously. But it always feels like it could go any which way and kind of, you know, end. So I don't know if that answers your question. I think I know I've been luckier than most people. I live pretty frugally in a way that most people who've, you know, at this point I've been a regular on 4 television shows. Most people have more things than me, but I also I'm less stressed out than them. You know, I keep my overhead really low. And try to live a good life, you know. I also don't have children.
that's a big one. The only thing good about children is the practice, but that's a whole nother conversation for
yeah.
that's not our department
here. Do you not have any, Jonathan?
No, I have a 7-year-old niece and a 5-year-old nephew.
Ah, very good. Very good.
Partially because of some health stuff I had, but also I never see myself responsible for kids, my own. Yeah. But it's my niece keeps hitting me up. She'll always say, when are you getting married? When are you having kids? Are you paying for things? Well, but she's at that stage. She's always asking me. I said, you guys are like my kids.
Yeah. Be like, what do you think this is right now? I have a wonderful nephew named Caden. And a lot of my cousins who I'm close to have kids. So I'm out with kids, you know?
Yeah, it's just funny because I was telling a story the other day, the sidetrack here I remember having to babysit my niece with my father. He was still traveling and working and all. And obviously he knew her, but it was like, you need to come watch her with me because you know all her little tales at like 5 or 6 months old.
Yeah.
He goes, I'll do the diapers, I'll feed her. But he's like, you need to tell me what, because when you're around her enough, when I was watching her 4 days a week at the time, I knew all her little quirks, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's almost fatherhood.
Yeah, I knew when she was tired, when she was hungry, like when, you know what I mean? I knew all her little.
Yep. That's what it is, right?
Yeah, he goes, you know where, come on over. So I'll send you a picture when I'm done.
Yeah, beautiful.
But obviously the series starts again tonight.
Tonight for the second half.
But do you know if we're signed on for another season? Because obviously there was a break with the strike and everything else going on.
And yeah, the industry obviously the industry is in a real weird place right now. So the deal is they have not canceled it. And they're going to assess how this season goes. So it's important, or this portion of the season goes. So it would be great if a lot of people kind of tune in and watch it. It premieres on USA, Sci-Fi, and Peacock. And also I know the pitch for season 4, And I realize I'm biased, but it's just so good. I hope we get to do it. It just feels like a travesty if we don't get to do it. If we get season four, it will definitely be the best season. So I hope it comes through. And you know, you never know. It could go either way. Our numbers are very good. We stream high on Peacock. And then it's just like, you know, this kind of complicated financial decision with a lot of variables that I'm not privy to, but
yeah.
You know, it's got an insane fan base, so I think we got a shot.
Well, final question. I was just thinking about this because I liked it. We were joking about me having a whiskey on the bookshelf and all here. And we gotta get you one of these. A friend fan of the show sent me this, but one of you. We gotta get one of your characters.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you found that at Walmart and thought of me being a horror fan. So
I also love Freddy.
Yeah, but if we were hanging out at your place, and I know you don't live at the States, and I'm not going to disclose where, not my place, but if we were hanging out at your place, what's your entertainment look like? Is it wine and a movie? Are we just regular TV, or is it we're going out and about? What's your entertainment?
What's my entertainment?
How do
I relax?
Yeah.
I sort of lost a taste for alcohol, which is crazy. I drink sometimes, but kind of not that often anymore. So I drink a lot of like fake beer, and I sit on my couch, and I watch a lot of true crime, which is easy, which I think a lot of women watch. I have a couple groups I'm in and we joke about it. It's like, oh, have you seen 9 more episodes of the slow burn serial killer in Wisconsin or whatever?
I wouldn't have done it that way.
I don't know what exactly it ignites in my brain where I can't stop, but it does. I also like good horror, man. I see a lot of movies. I walk to a theater, I don't know, you know, when I'm home, probably three nights a week or something. And like last night I saw kind of a pretentious movie. It wasn't pretentious, it was amazing, but A Woman Under the Influence. But I loved Late Night with the Devil. Loved that movie. I see movies, I read books, I watch true crime, I drink fake beer, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm on a separate email. I'm going to connect you with a true crime expert who has a board game out called Killers the Card Game.
Amazing.
I'll send that info over to you as well.
Wait, who is it? Maybe there's one I know, even though I'm forgetting his name, which is terrible.
Jeff Aganowski. Polish. Okay, I can't, but yeah. Sorry, Jeff. I know you, Jeff. I know you'll give me shit for that, but that's all right. But I'm hooking you up with somebody, so appreciate it, Jeff.
Also, I don't mean to call him some Polish guy. I was just kidding.
He gets where I'm. You know, that's a whole nother. You know, he's a Northeast guy too. He knows I'm breaking balls, but Jeff, I expected it. I'm sharing your info with Fiona. But,
amazing.
But he's actually doing a book now too. And there's just, you know, whatever.
Well, send me some content, man. I can watch that stuff all day long.
I got you covered. But what's next for you professionally?
I just did a movie called Situations in LA, which is like a love letter to Los Angeles, which was beautiful. And then there's a few things in the mix. I mean, we are all waiting to see what happens. I mean, what happens with the industry and the strike with IATSE and whatever. I partially live in Europe now, so
yeah.
Also in that market a little bit. You know, I'm slowly getting a degree, you know, in my time off. And
what are you studying?
In my life. Oh, to be a psychoanalyst.
Okay. Yeah. That definitely seems to fit the personality.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, what mom did and, you know, what you do professionally. Yeah. When you think of the whole circle, it fits.
Hopefully it's more grounded than my mother and my father.
she says that out of love about our parents, folks. She's
oh, lots of love. My parents were magical, actually. Eccentric and magical.
The Chucky series second half starts tonight, April 10th. Check it out, folks. Fiona, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jonathan. You take it easy.
Hey there, Friday fans. We know how much you enjoy the movies. Enjoy grabbing your Friday merchandise and interacting with the Friday family, whether it be at conventions or during our particular watch-alongs. Well, when you're looking to get yourself masks, why not check out our friends over at Camp Blood Customs out of New York State and order your specific custom mask from any of the films. All orders are made specifically. Your needs and wants are. Make sure you find Camp Blood Customs on Facebook, Instagram, and all over social media and order yours today.
Hey, this is Kane Hodder. You are listening to Crazy Train Radio. Keep listening, or else.